Hello and welcome to the Prowess Climbing Coaching Training Podcast. Despite bouldering for 20 years, up to about 70 plus, I've never actually gone through a regimented training program before. That is, until now. Restricted by lockdown but driven by a desire to get straight back on my projects at the first opportunity, this time is right to finally get the fingerboard chalky, stretch out the TheraBands and to train at home. As a professional climbing coach, this seemed a great opportunity to look at this as a case study, a first-hand experience of completing a training program as a climber. And so I've decided to record a weekly podcast to keep you updated on how it's all going. The inspiration for the program has come from my friend Sally Lyle from Far Out Pursuits, who is also working on a very different training program of her own. She'll be joining me every week so we can chart progress, see if our exercises are working, that the sets and the reps are right, and crucially, to see whether we are sticking to our respective plans. More information will be available through my website, prowesscoaching.co.uk, where you'll be able to see the program I'm going through and even download templates to design your own, as well as accessing other resources to help you as a climber. So sit back, relax, and let us do the hard work and enjoy the next episode.
Hello.
Hi, Sal. How are you?
I am exceptional, thank you. As you can see, I have the largest ever peanut butter known to man, and a banana. I'm getting fueled up for the weather my training session.
The weather is nice. The weather is sunny. It's been a glorious day.
Beautiful, yeah. Got useful things done today. Outside. Crazy. So it's been a couple of weeks since we last did a podcast. So we were chatting about what we were intending to talk through this week of value. And we go through the last two training weeks for each of us, which is quite useful for me because I've gone from my base phase of training to my strength phase of training. So it's sort of a little bit to talk about in that. And then investigate some barriers that we have that get in the way of our ability to train.
Yeah, some of the things that have come up over the last 6 weeks, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. And so we found that although our barriers are very, very different, they impact us in sort of similar ways. So we're going to chat around some strategies that we've both found that have meant that our training's been more successful. So, yes, talk me through your last couple of weeks. How did it compare to the 2 weeks previously?
Yeah, I feel like I've got a bit more energy again. I think I kind of came out of that slump and now I'm back on form and I feel like I'm actually starting to improve again. The two power strength session trainings, both of them, I'm still running short on time, but I'm getting through to the end of it and I'm feeling pretty tired and not quite as wiped out as I was 6 weeks ago, which is really good. I think the tactics need fixing on my runs and especially my pacing. My body didn't catch up with my brain this week gone and I went a bit hell for leather and it actually weirdly ended up turning into an interval style run, which was a little bit weird.
Do you know if that's beneficial or not?
The general principle I make with any sort of coaching that I do with people and I give them any sort of principles to follow, I'm like, look, you feel free to break the rules. The only condition is that it has to be intended. And I think that's relevant here. An interval run wouldn't have necessarily been a bad thing if I'd intended to go for an interval run. I didn't. I wanted to run for 30 minutes solid and I ended up run, walk, run, walk, run, walk because I got my tactics wrong. That's the difference. It's probably a mental control training more than anything else, but it's still enjoyable and I'm still going out for a run. And then onto my HIIT sessions. HIIT has been very good. 2 weeks ago, it was the first week that I'd upped it to 3 full sets from one that I was doing before. And I managed 2.4 of them. So 2 full sets and 4 out of the 6 exercises before I just crashed. I think my knees were about to buckle on the burpees because they were near the end. So I went tactical and I put a little note on saying, need to change the order up. So I moved them around to put the things that I found the most physically demanding at the start and the things that I found easiest at the end.
Yeah, I just it's another way of mixing it up and having an experiment.
The one massive revelation that I'd totally forgotten that I did this week is I wore my running shoes doing my exercises in the house. Now, for the 5 weeks previous, my power strength session and my HIIT session have both been done in bare feet because I always do my exercises in bare feet. I don't know why, it just makes me feel happier. This week, I put my running shoes on in the kitchen, and I tell you what, it was a revelation. My feet didn't hurt from doing skipping exercises on tiles.
That's awesome, and that's quite interesting because you wouldn't think to tell them to put shoes on.
Yeah, exactly. Just that little change made so much difference to my session, for both sessions.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about my feet. How was your last 2 weeks?
Really successful, actually. Fantastic. The last three nights, I have slept properly in the night without painkillers. It is my favourite milestone since surgery. So that has made a world of difference to my mood, and I'm sure about my ability to recover as well. I had the final week of my base training phase, and then I just had a go starting the strength phase. So I've done a lot of calibrating as well with this new phase of training. The structure was day on fingerboard, day off fingerboard, day on fingerboard, day off fingerboard. And I think it's partly to do with the physio I'm doing for my knee and the surgery and the recovery on that stage. But I think it's more to do with the nature of its max strength sessions, is I'm just not recovering fast enough. I still feel knackered on the day I'm meant to be doing the max hang sessions again. So I've changed it up. I've got a max hang session and then 2 days, and then a max hang session and then 2 days. So I've changed it up a bit, and I think that's gonna, I'll tell you next week or whenever, but I think that's going to be much more successful in recuperating. I think there's one more useful thing that's come that we could discuss in the last 2 weeks for me, because I've shifted from my base phase of training to my strength phase of training. I took the opportunity to retest my stats. So at the beginning of my training, before I started, I could do so many pull-ups. I could hold on to a certain size edge for so long. And I retested all of those to see if I'd got improvements. And amazingly, holding on, one in particular had improved humongously. I can now hold on to a certain sized edge for almost twice as long as when I started. So from 24 seconds to 43, which is amazing. I'm over the moon. I've never had training goals as well as root goals. So I think that's really quite nice to have a few things along the way that I can check off. And I am well on the way to the goals in my training. So let's move on and have a wee discussion about the barriers you found in the last month of training and the barriers I found. And I guess we'll see if we've got any similarities and what strategies you've employed.
Because I think, to be honest, I think this is one of the things that's not talked about very much in training discussions, is that there are actually things that outside influences that kind of come in and stop you, or can stop you, or can create problems for completing your training plan. I mean, the obvious one for me is I've got two children. I've got a four-year-old and a two-year-old, and that creates big issues. I actually put a couple of questions in a couple of Facebook groups. So there's a great one called Parents That Rock, and then another one on another group for Rock Climbing UK. And I got some really interesting responses back from people, pretty much saying the same sort of things that I was feeling. Emily Zweber said, I would say involve the toddlers, preschoolers as much as possible in a safe way. And that was a recurring theme from a lot of people. Fern Braun was doing pull-ups, posted a picture, a great picture of doing dead hangs or pull-ups on a fingerboard with the baby strapped to the chest. And I went, oh, yes, I always wanted to do this, because obviously as the baby grows, then you get stronger. You can maintain the same number and the weight increases. But I never did it. I always wanted to.
When they get to 14, you'll be a beast.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can imagine hanging a teenager off, you're going, Dad, this is really embarrassing now. There was another one, Samantha Young. She's got a three-year-old and a one-and-a-half-year-old. They try and involve the kids as much as possible, and that was one of the workarounds that people were doing. And to be honest, for me, it's one of the things that I've been trying to do as well. I can't do it as much with Hannah, who's two, but with Rosie, if I can get her involved and get her engaged, she loves it. She absolutely loves it, and she's well behaved enough that she moves away to let me do my exercises and then goes and has a play when she wants to have a go. And I found that in the last lockdown, when I was trying to do exercise at home, half the time it was Rosie that dragged me into it and said, Dad, come on, let's go and do our exercise. That was actually a massive driver and a massive motivator for me to go, okay, yeah, let's get going. The problem is that when they're not on song and when they're not interested, any parent will tell you, when a kid doesn't want to do something, then it can be a nightmare. And I had a lot of people responding, Ivy Teo, Brittany Ducal, Abby Davidson in the Rock Climbing UK group. And these people were all saying, no. Brittany said, I can't get that zone or push with my kiddo around. I love going all in training with headphones, so I usually wait till bedtime. That's the other option that I've found so far, is to make sure that I schedule my training for when the kids aren't around. My HIIT sessions are done while my other half is putting the kids to bed. So those are the two real things that I've found strategies to kind of deal with it.
Have you got any other strategies that you employ? So the ones, include them and do it when they're not around. Have you got any other strategies?
All of the comments that I got from people on Facebook said exactly the same thing. You've got three options. You can either include them, you can schedule it so that they're not there, or you can cancel it at the last minute. Somebody commented, apologies for the pronunciation on this name, Alicia Wyke Chapoy on the Climbers Crag group said, I think the age of the child will determine how you would train around them. And it's absolutely right. With Rosie, it's not too bad. She's well behaved. She's very cognizant. She's very understanding. She's very, very good at moving out of the way. Hannah's two. She doesn't have that mental capacity yet. She's not grown up enough yet. She doesn't understand. So I think it depends on the age of the kids.
So have you got any other barriers that are getting in the way?
Yeah, I think the weather has been a surprising problem around this time of year, although it is winter in North Wales, so it's not really much of a surprise.
Yeah,
but it's become more of an issue than I thought, especially with going for a run. And for example, last week the weather was so bad that I had to swap the run out with the HIIT session. I think there's a compromise in there between planning stuff and being organized and being flexible enough to be able to change. You have to have things in advance and say, this is what we're going to do. But at the same time, have the ability to be able to go, it's not happening. Okay, here's my backup plan. And the other barrier, of course, that I've got, and I know that you've suffered with this one a little bit lately as well, is that I'm starting a new job today. And today is my power strength
suffered
ratio.
With the having to go to work.
I know, that's yeah.
Terrible.
So I'm now going to have to move things and change things and shuffle things. But like you say, it's finding the balance between being organized and having everything set out and laid out and being adaptable and changeable and being able to roll with the punches at the same time. Because I've tried to do a few training things before, but always lost my way. And I think the critical thing for me is 6 weeks in, still doing it. I'm still turning up. I'm still completing the sessions. I'm still enjoying the sessions. And the structure still remains. And despite the barriers that I've found, I'm still managing to complete most of the sessions, you know. And that half of them have been because I've managed to incorporate the kids into the session really nicely. Half of them have been because I've managed to arrange it around times that are convenient. And half of them have been because I've got an amazing partner who's happy to, you know, go out for a walk with two kids or one kid at the times that are suitable for me, that allow me to do what I want to do. So a huge thank you to Em.
So while my barriers are quite different, I think they've got similarities in some of the strategies I've employed to get around them, actually. So in this training program, the barriers I've come up against are the big obvious one. I've just had knee surgery. The pain and the painkillers and the limited physical capabilities and the sleep issues. But I've got some that are a little bit different. Like normally when I would be trying to train or do anything, I would be working really hard on the hill. So I would be out, my body being used, carrying heavy rucksacks, doing camping, whatever, out in the mountains, and it would be physically demanding. But now I'm on Zoom, there's very little physical demand from my work that I'm doing at the moment. So that is a significantly reduced barrier from normal. I guess the strategies I've got are the same as the strategies you've got with kids. Understanding what the limitation's going to be, anticipating it, and coming up with a structured plan. I would say I have been so much more successful in this training program than I've ever been before, and it is not because I've had less work. I think it's significantly tied in with me having surgery and my reduced physical capabilities, which is just bonkers if you say it on its own. But because I've had to come up with ways that I can do my physio, so my rehab for my knee, I haven't been able to go for a run. I've had to come up with other things. Having my energy ready there, I can redirect it in a structure of useful training. I've got more time available. I've got more physical reserves available certainly in my upper half of my body. And I have got this enforced structure with physio because my work and my life and everything depend on me getting this knee as good as I possibly can. So having that structure already in place and that mind frame means that I can transfer that over to the training.
There sounds like there's a bit of a parallel there, that we've both taken these barriers. I've taken having the kids before and you've taken the surgery, and we've gone, okay, well, we use that and we'll channel it into the training program and we'll channel that motivation into actually training rather than getting distracted by all the other opportunities that are out there. And one of the things that you said about that, and it just made me think, there's one less massive distraction going on at the moment, which actually really helps the training, and that's the fact that we can't go climbing. You know, you can't plan.
Perfect.
It's actually really useful. The biggest barrier to succeeding in my training in the past has been the fact that, oh, look, it's sunny, I'm going out climbing instead. I'm not going to do my power strength session. I'm going to go and play in the boulders because that's what I want to go and do. And I think, and that's certainly from what you've said, as sounds like it's a very similar thing, because you're aware of the limitations and the barriers that you've got to going and going climbing that are going to happen. You've used that and gone, okay, well, I'll channel that into my training. And now you've come out with doubling the time on your metrics, which is phenomenal. So it's a case of trying to take the situation that you're in and to take the problems that we have and the barriers and the stopping points and the things that are going to cause us problems and twist them and use them so that they actually help us as opposed to hinder us.
How I see this, very strangely, I have not seen the surgery as a negative. And I know that is partly because of my personality. I have only seen the opportunity that it's given me. It slowed me down. It's given me structure. And it's given me the chance to actually have a go at this training program.
I've been immensely impressed. And your enthusiasm and your drive is part of what's helping me as well. Your attitude to this is partly the reason that I'm still going 6 weeks in.
I've also got so many examples of my friends who have had kids or had accidents in their lives and have come back stronger And so I don't see why not. Let's have a go. It's nice being forced to be slow, forced to be organized.
I think it's possible if you've got the right drive. I think for every one example, I think there's more examples of people who've let it stop them. So I know that sounds a little bit defeatist, but the reason that I mention it is to go sort of like, look, it's not a given. You know, the people that have the people that have had kids and then have climbed grades harder than they did before, they're the ones that are driven to do it. They're putting the work in. They're turning up every session and they're going, I'm not going to let this stop me. I am going to carry on being the person that I want to be. This is an extra part of who I am. That was my attitude when we had Rosie, was I don't want to stop being who I used to be. I want to be this as well. You know, they are not mutually exclusive. They do not have to be. And I think that's a big myth. I've had sessions where they've been so draining, and all I can hear is screaming in my head, because that's all they've done all day. We just had one of those days where it's rained for the last 2 days and we haven't left the house, and everybody's tense and nervous and the kids just won't leave you alone. And by the time you get to 8 o'clock, you've pushed everything back going, yeah, I'll do it when I go to bed. And by the time you get to that point, you just go, no, I am so drained and so exhausted. But that's part of it. And it was really, I think a really good way of putting it was when you said in one of the previous podcasts that you still turn up and then you make the call. Is this a viable option for me to go and continue? Mm. Yes, great, then we do it. No, okay, well, such is life. There have been interesting parallels and there are interesting takeaways from this. I think that the drive and the motivation to complete what you actually want to do is a major take-home point. And the ability to be able to use the barriers and to channel them in the direction that you want and to help you rather than hinder you is another one that I think you've done a fantastic job at and have been very organized and very structured with it. I think the big one for me has been the balance, finding that balance between being organized and saying, this is what I want to do and this is when I'm going to do it, and being adaptable enough to say, yeah, actually, okay, that didn't quite work, but I've got a backup plan.
There's a final thing I would say, actually, of if you're going to have something to take away that was useful from our discussion here, it would be methods of reframing challenges as opportunities. There is a lot of psychological strategies that you can research online, but if you either you reframe it and you can do it in a really sort of what feels like false way of forcing yourself to phrase it in a positive manner with positive language and saying it out loud, that self-talk actually does change your brain's perception of it. But sometimes you might be in too deep with the challenge and you might not have that opportunity or that option of reframing it by yourself. So you might go and find somebody else to talk through your challenge with, or someone who's experiencing the same sort of challenge. So the strategy for me is rephrase it in a positive light if you need to force yourself to rephrase it. The other one is question if it is a limiting factor or if there are any positives, and that can be done by yourself or with somebody else, and come up with options of what to do with it, and not just two options, three options. So two options is an ultimatum of it's either positive or it's negative. Three options is like a brainstorm. It's a discussion of what you can get out of it.
I like it. It's good. Well, I think there's been some really good take-homes, and thank you very much for the chat. And it's congratulations again on your gains, because you've been doing fantastically well. Thank you very much, Sal. What's your training for today?
I've got light cardio and flexibility. Oh my goodness, I am so tired from the last 2 days. I'm really, really, really looking forward to training a little bit less hard today.
Well, it'll be good. I will text you later to see how it's gone.
Bye for now.
This podcast was produced by Prowess Climbing Coaching and Far Out Pursuits and featured Pete Edwards and Sally Lyle. Edit was by Pete Edwards. For more information on the topics discussed, or for help in designing your own training program, please visit prowesscoaching.co.uk. And remember to tune in for the next episode.